Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
What if we was together for a year already? And it was time to say goodbye, what would you say to me?
I can't say that.
Yes, you can, and you should. Because I feel exactly the same way.
I would say... I love you.
I love you too. So let's cut the and get on with living this life together.
Everybody is talking about Yasir and Nuri, the main characters on the romantic drama titled Love Is. If you haven't seen it, we'll tell you a little bit about it, but you should still binge watch it on the Oprah Winfrey Network. We're talking about the many issues in the drama and asking you tonight, love is what? My guests are Tanya Barnett, relationship expert, Stuart Ransom, co-host of WHUR's The Husbands, and Jessica Brown, founder of the College Girl Foundation. We want to hear from you tonight about what love is. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, boy, what's up indeed? This is a fantastic, fantastic program. It's dramatic. It's gut-wrenching. But it really does. Don't you start, Stuart. It really does raise the question. Define love. I'm going to let Tanya go first. Love is what, Tanya?
Oh, wow. Love to me is patience and forgiveness. If you can't do either one of those in a relationship, mm-hmm. I just don't think you can master love. You have to be patient with that individual because they're not perfect. And you have to forgive because sometimes they'll hurt you, disappoint you, frustrate you. But forgiveness is part of that and it's growth as well. So to me, that's love.
Jessica, love is...
To me, love is all about compromise. You know, no one is perfect. Everyone has to give and take in a relationship, you know, whether it's beauty, religion, finances. Nothing's perfect. So love is all about compromise and being selfless.
Stuart, love is...
So look, representing for the
wait
husband.
A minute. So look, is that? Wait a minute. So look, here we go.
Okay.
So what had happened was,
look, I got to represent for the husbands. Matter of fact, I'll add another disclaimer for the light skinned bros. Let me.
Oh, no.
Love is really? To me, love is the same, only different. What I mean by that is, at the end of the day, the mission is to be happy, to have joy, to grow with your partner, your spouse, but we all do it differently, right? We all get there in different ways. Mm. You take different paths. Everything's going to be different. Matter of fact, not even different from day to day, different from minute to minute because we're all individuals. So you want the same goal, but you're going to get there in different ways. But you all come together, you know, at the end.
Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah. I would say love is work.
Ooh. Right. Mm-hmm.
It is a labor. As in labor of love, but it doesn't have to be that hard.
Right.
Now, is it hourly or salary?
Oh, no. I think it's volunteer.
No, right? No, often it is contractual.
Uh-oh.
There it is. We can talk about that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk about some of the issues that have come up in this show. Okay, we have Yuri and Nasir, both of them up-and-coming writers in Los Angeles. Yuri is becoming successful. She's a homeowner, and she's got it going on. Nasir, on the other hand, he's not doing so well. He doesn't have a job.
Harold, he's struggling.
He's really struggling. And he's living with his ex girlfriend. wait, Jessica, would that work for you? How does that work?
Oh no. Oh, that would not work for me. You know, I mean, not to say I got certain standards. You know, you need to be living by yourself. You don't need to be, you're too grown to be living off of somebody else. Like, I'm sorry. In that particular situation, that wouldn't work.
Right. I mean,
what had happened was, because that really is a what had happened was situation.
It's so funny because when I talk to women and I get the whole, he's got a this, he's got a that. Well, when I met my husband, he was making $12.50 out of school, working as a teacher. I was working as well. I found out later on that he was driving his girlfriend's car at the time. You know, it was after the fact. But I look back now and say, had I discounted what he was making in the apartment, he lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Kentland, you know, I'm sorry, and yeah, but Land of the Hills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had an apartment, but he ain't had no furniture, no dishes, you know, nothing. But had I discounted him, I wouldn't have the man that I have 19 years later.
Mm. But this is supposed to be a real story based on the actual romance and marriage of the producers. But do you think, I don't even know how I ask this, because if it's a true story, but Stuart, is it really realistic for a man, and it's also set in the 90s, so this is it's also pre-internet.
Right.
You got all kinds of issues.
Right.
But is this realistic for a guy with nothing, really, to snag the attention of a Nuri?
I say yes, and I think the way that he did it in the show was he didn't put all his cards out right away. I think she discovered some of his downfalls and where he was at in life later on, after some of this emotional stuff had already happened, right? So I think you can do it, but I'm going to need the women out here. I'm going to speak to you right now. You're going to have to give us a little bit of time, a little bit of space. You don't want to meet us at our peak, okay? You want us a little bit broken, a little bit behind the times. Let us work some things out with you. So when we do make it together, you can enjoy that much better. Because if you meet us at the peak, the only way to go is down. I'm gonna keep going up.
Don't rush
me too much. Okay, meet me where I'm at. Okay, let's work it out.
But Jessica said you wouldn't date a Nasir.
I mean, if Nasir had his own place, you know, and some other thing. I mean, you could have a $12 job. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not saying that you have to get a PhD. Like, I'm going to get a PhD now. Like, I'm not necessarily saying that. Like, you know, but I'm saying that there has to be some kind of standards that you should want for yourself as a man. You know, just like there's some standards as I want for myself as a woman. You know, and then when we come together, we're going to make this one-bedroom apartment a mansion eventually. You know, but
she's already got her mansion.
Well, that's the
thing. It's a really nice house.
It was a nice house, but like, you know, we can get something better. You know, America's made for two incomes, not one.
Well, I want you to hear this, because this is what her grandmother and her aunts are saying about this. And I tell you, this show was so entertaining and so well written. Gosh, if you've missed it, you've got to listen to this.
This month with you, Sarah, has been more fulfilling than any month with every guy before him.
Yeah? How?
Because he makes me happy.
Oh.
So does Malik Yoba every Thursday night on Fox. But I didn't let that man move into my house. I just let him come by once a week.
Honey, he's using you.
No.
He's making you look stupid.
Love does that, Auntie. Isn't that why all of you are still single? You said you loved Jasir. Why did you lie about liking him?
Why would you lie about not liking Valentine's Day?
I didn't lie. I'm celebrating it right now.
No, you're celebrating Singles Day. So you must be single.
Okay, fine. You want to know the truth? I would rather be with your seer today.
Well, admitting it is the first step.
So that I didn't have to spend it with any of you.
Oh, hallelujah damn. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, there's a whole lot going on. And this is what I say, Tanya. Even if you consider your seer's circumstances, she, the thing that she said was, he makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you know, that's number one. Because right. Before she was sleeping with the coffee boy,
mm-hmm. right?
And she's got, you know, Mr.
an executive,
yeah, right. Mr. Pretty executive, mm-hmm. in New York that of she course. Never sees,
right?
Okay, and then she's got some another guy whose sexual preferences are questionable.
Uh-oh.
Okay, and so you have all of these other, and then here comes Yasir.
Yes.
And he's got baggage. He's got, you know, an ex-wife. He's living with his girlfriend. But I argue that he not just fulfills, but he fills.
Yeah, he fills.
Her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's some qualities there that I want people to take away from the show is that you might not have or be at your full earning potential right. at the time you meet someone,
right.
but good character mm-hmm. or patience or being funny,
right.
that
right.
stuff sticks with you, right? So even if you do lose your job, you still got a funny guy.
Right. Right.
So just don't throw him away because he's living in a basement of his mama house. Mm-hmm. I would question that if he's 32 and above. I mean, come on. But still, there's some qualities there that you can't touch.
Yeah.
But they're still good for you that you right. need to check the boxes off.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Love Is, not only the series on OWN, but also what Love Is and some of the issues that this incredible drama brings up. And we got to mention the elephant in the room, including, you know, all of the things that Stuart just mentioned. Apparently, he's also quite proficient in the physical intimacy part. Mm-hmm. And she's...
These writers had to be exaggerating. Come on. the show that we do on this network, you know, with the husbands, we've had a sex expert come on and say, listen, if somebody's going telling you 35, 40 something minutes of X, Y, and Z,
mm-hmm.
no, they're lying. It's 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? All that other stuff y'all doing, you stop counting that.
Right.
Well, maybe
right.
he's in his 20s. And right. he's, I don't know. But let's talk about the emotional piece because I really think, Tanya, that really is the bottom line. And in this series, they connect. It's not about lust. I mean, yeah, obviously there's a lot of passion and all right. of that. But these two characters really like each mm-hmm, other.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Stu that they reminded me a lot of me and my husband. Just, you know, the on again, off again, you know, liking each other, not liking each other. You know, it's... But that's what relationships are, and I think a lot of times what's happening now, and the reason why we see a lot of women in their 40s and 50s who are still single is because they don't want to work through the hard part.
What do you mean by that?
Ooh. Meaning that, like, I have a girlfriend right now who's pushing 40. She has this checklist, and if you do not meet every single criteria on her checklist, is deuces, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and so I told her, I was like, I ain't even know about a checklist when
right,
I met my husband,
right.
you know, it was just, he was funny, he accepted my daughter, you know, we went on dates with my daughter, like I said, he wasn't making a lot of money, but he treated me good, treated my parents good,
right.
and so those were the qualities that I didn't know I was looking for, but he had those things. Had I had a checklist, again, I probably wouldn't be with my husband, because he didn't have those things that I hear these long lists that women have, and I'm like, yo, do you have all that? Kind of like what you led with. Do you have all that?
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
But I also think it's the culture that's impacting that checklist. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Like, you know, I have to have this. I have to have that. And in order to have these things, I have to have a man to give them to me. You know what I'm saying? So I think nowadays the definition of love has become kind of just very blurred, you know, because now love is monetary. It's not very mm-hmm. time consuming. It's not being selfless. It's not compromising. So, you know, it really just all depends really on the person. And at the end of the day, it's a give and take thing. And, you know, if you don't have nothing one day, what's going to happen? Are you going to leave me because I don't have anything?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I need to take a break, but before I do, I want to make sure that our listeners have a chance to find out where they can find all of you on the internet. Even though this show was done before, Jessica, how can folks catch up with you?
You can catch up with me, collegegirl.com, G-U-R-L. Also, September 18th, my foundation is hosting a fundraiser where I take DMV students on free college tours at Marvin's Restaurant. Go on Eventbrite and search College Girl Foundation.
Okay, just Tanya.
All right, you can find me at realwifemovement.com. You can also find me, Real Wife Coach, on all social media. And you can also find me on the upcoming season 3 of Black Love on OWN TV.
Oh,
me and my husband,
go.
Don.
Oh, that love again. Awesome. Stu, where can we hear you and the husbands?
Yeah, so you can find us on this beautiful network, WHUR.com. You can find us on Instagram, The Husband Show. And you can find us on Facebook at The Real Husbands of Largo.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Love is what? I want to hear from you. I want to talk about the show as well. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the many issues in the hot drama Love Is. It's on the OWN Network, and tonight we're asking you to help us with this sentence. Finish it for us. Love is what? My guests are Tanya Barnett, she's a relationship expert, Stuart Ransom, co-host of WHUR's The Husbands, and Jessica Brown, founder of the College Girl Foundation. Give us a call. I want to hear from you tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angie, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling, Angie. What's on your mind?
I wanted to say that love is what God says that it is, and the problem today is that we tend to equate love with money because we have become such a materialistic society. And even when women, my friends, have left, it always boils down to how can this guy take care of me? I was married for 15 years, and my husband didn't have money. And I loved him until the day that he died. And we eventually did have money, but when I married him, he was poor. And I had to tell one of my girlfriends that loves money a lot that, you know, what if God gives you a choice of love or money? What would you do? And that's the real question that we need to ask. Sometimes we can't have it all.
Okay. Angie, thank you so much. What do you guys think about what Angie is saying?
Interesting.
I agree. I mean, when you deal with someone losing their job, at one point, we were homeless with three kids, living on somebody's, you know, futon in their basement. But our love carried us through. I didn't dog my husband or demean my husband. It was just, it was what it was. We didn't have anywhere to stay. So for me, it was the love is what carried us through those times where Don lost his job and he was home with the children while I went to work. It wasn't like, you know, why don't you get up off your lazy? It was none of that. It was, okay, I got to carry the load right now while you're still looking for a job, and then vice versa. When I stay home with my children and homeschool my children, my husband worked.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would say that there's something beautiful and authentic about the struggle. And when you're going through that with someone, it's a beautiful thing if it works out, right? The other thing is, I went into my marriage with my wife when I was standing at the altar. I was saying I do to the worst of her. I knew at that moment that I could take the worst person that she could be, because the beautiful one and everything's okay days, that's easy to sign up. I signed a contract right now, any type of situation like that.
I told you it was contractual.
Thank you.
Didn't I say that?
But looking at her, I knew that day that, you know what? The worst of this woman I could deal with, sign me up. I do.
And you haven't seen anything worse than what you knew when you got married.
You kidding me? Yeah. talking about, man?
I mean, they say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to get big, you're going to get small, your beauty's going to fade, your finances may dwindle, you know, but at the end of the day, like you said, I mean, what you have is love, and love is priceless, and it'll get you through so many things that money can't.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dominique, calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm just fine. What's going on?
So my question's about the show. I love the show Love Is. And one of the things that I think that a lot of people can relate to with Nori is that even though she was following her heart, she still had to deal with the critics, her friends, her family, and what they had to say about her relationship choices. So how do you balance that? How do you kind of block the naysayers or the people who don't necessarily see or feel what you feel and ultimately leave with your heart?
Oh, I would say this. Look, that's not going to stop.
Right.
Once you pick your partner and you move forward, people are always going to be in your business. And it might be even your close, like your mother, your father, the in-laws. They're always going to try to inject themselves, right? Mm-hmm. But you guys have to put up some type of firewall and understand and negotiate. But look, you talked about Nori, right? Let's not the character of Nori, she light skinned it now. She has some issues.
Come on.
She did that. We know how light skinned women now. Come on, bro. Look, and he was emotional. Now he's emotional, bruh. But two of them working together, they work, but come on.
But is
he saying two chocolate people can't work together?
No. What I'm saying is, light skinned folks is
different.
You know, come on,
all this coming from the butter pecan brother.
Right.
But you know, I think that Dominique does touch on something interesting. Is your seer controlling? Because and I don't have that particular excerpt, but there was that point where he didn't hear from her all day because she was working.
Yeah. Right.
And he wasn't. I mean, he's working in the bookstore now, but at this point, he was not working on that particular day.
Right.
And he said, call me when you get to work. She forgot. And he didn't hear from her all day. And that was problematic. Tanya, I'll ask you. He said he was worried. But is that, was he over the top?
I think in that instance, he needed maturity and to be able to understand where she was coming from. I'm sure plenty of us have gone somewhere and forgotten a call or what have you. And I've been guilty of that where, you know, I'm like, yo, you said you were going to call me when you got there. And my husband's like, yo, I really forgot, you know, so. I think it takes a level of maturity. I won't say controlling. He just may be immature in that aspect.
Right.
And to me, that's just a conversation. Let's have a conversation about it. You know, why did you react that way? And, you know, for going forward, shoot me a text or whatever if you feel like, and I know they're made up characters, but I'm just saying there's a way that she can educate him. He can see where she's coming from. She can see where he's coming from. And then they work through that.
That compromise. Mm-hmm. That it all comes back to compromise, you know?
Yeah. Well, and from a man's perspective, at least this man's perspective, while I understand, okay, call me when you get to work or call me today. If you're going to work and I don't hear from you all day, and I know what you do for a living, and I know that you're busy, I'm it's just not going to be problematic for me. This is set in the 1990s, so there's no inbox.
There's
no texting.
Right.
You know, there's none of that.
Okay.
So on one hand, you can, but she was at work.
Right.
She didn't go to the club and not call
right
at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I really think that he really did overreact on that. What do you think, Stu?
Yeah, he was in his feelings.
Right.
You know, as a guy speaking for, you know, watching the show, he was in his feelings right there. It was a power play on his part, trying to say, listen, I know your job. Because she had told him from the jump, my job is my guy, is my man or whatever. Like, I put a lot into this career and she's good at it, which Who doesn't want that? Like, right. You're a good person at your career. So she goes to her job to do some work and she doesn't call you. Mm-hmm. Like, bruh, like she got back home to you. So she was safe because right. That's really what the goal was. Right. Are you going to be safe or not? She made it home. He just wanted to pick at her and see how far he could take it. Mm-hmm. And I think she defended herself well.
Especially when she apologized in the 90s. You know,
listen,
he's bored.
If you want to settle, as a husband, if you want to settle any situation, mm-hmm. please, wife, show up in the nightgown or the lingerie.
Mm-hmm. But not with the bonnets.
I'll take that too. Hey, I'm not kidding. Okay.
Dominique, thank you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Denise, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Denise. What's on your mind? Denise, are you there?
Yes. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What's going on?
I just feel like love is something that never dies. It's always there. It's never uncertain. And I just feel like you have to compromise. You know, you can't have this long laundry of lists of what you need when it comes to wanting this and wanting that. Because at the end of the day, you're really depriving yourself. Mm-hmm. If I make more money than my husband, then that's okay, because I may be providing financially, but he may be giving me the support emotionally, you know, love, respect. So I just feel like it balances itself out.
That makes a lot of sense, Denise. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jessica, you keep talking about compromise. Mm. Define compromise in a modern relationship, because the 50-50 thing or the 100-100 mm-hmm. thing, that's not realistic.
I mean, it's not realistic, but I mean, as a person, nobody's perfect. Like, you ever see, like, other religions, right? And they get in these arranged marriages.
Wow.
But their religion is all based on the culture of staying together. They don't know one another. They don't know if they are ugly or cute. However, when they meet at the altar, they have to, they become in love. They become one. They learn how to work collectively together. And those marriages last longer than people that have been dating 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
Because a lot of that is compromise. Like, you know,
no, that's if you don't stay married because of the way the culture is, and your family will disown you.
I mean that too. You know, it depends. But you know, for the most part, I've seen people that are really in love from some of those marriages. Like they got that show, Married at First Sight. Mm-hmm. Some of those people are still married with kids, and they never met each other. And this ain't religion; it's America. You know, so and they're on that TV, and they're compromising with one another and building families. So it's a give and a take thing. How much are you willing as a person to give?
So when we talk about compromise on the show, we normally say don't compromise your morals or your standards. Right. Like, never do that, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to expectations, are you setting your expectations properly, right? I think people set their expectations too strict. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You putting people in boxes, and we are living mm-hmm. creatures that change and adapt and do
There's
different
no
things
flexibility.
Every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't come at me and say, I got to check every one of your boxes and hold me to that, because right. I can grow into that, or maybe I can fall out of it.
Right.
So you mean to tell me if I don't make a certain amount of money, or if I did and then I get laid off because of the economy or something, that you won't be with me? Or if my, let's say I get a illness. Or something like that, and then my looks are not what they used to be.
Right.
You're not gonna be with me? Like, that's, come on. That's right. Shallow.
Yeah, right. Like Tanya's friend, she said she's got this list, this checklist, but what about your friend's own responsibilities to some to a relationship that she might find,
right.
which seems to be highly unlikely.
And then he's cheating on her,
right?
Because he's so perfect,
right?
So how does so what when you have that conversation, and this is before the love piece, mm-hmm. but what does she say about her checklist?
I mean, we've had several conversations about it, and I've stopped having conversations with her, you know, because it is draining. Mm-hmm. But then she complains about, you know, there aren't any good men out there. And I'm like, there are great men out there. You just don't see him because, you know, you're putting this checklist next to, you know, everybody's profile, you know, and they're not meeting that. So I just really feel like in the way the world is today, And the way, like Stu said, people fluctuate, we fluctuate, we change. Mm-hmm. I mean, when my husband married me, I had hair, you know, right. Then I lost my hair. You know, that doesn't affect who I am as a person.
But you're so mm-hmm. cute.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you just throw on some big earrings. All right. And keep it rolling.
Right. You know? But even something like that, I mean, I have friends who mm-hmm. just recently came out of wigs, have been wearing wigs for 3 and 4 years,
oh, wow.
who have alopecia because their husbands could not handle their wives losing their hair.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. When we come back, more of Love Is What? How do you finish that sentence? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Yes, we are still talking about this incredible drama on the OWN Network. Love Is Yasir and Nuri. I really do like them together, but you may not like this.
Just trust me. I can't talk right now, but I'll tell you everything.
Like, what's your last name, maybe? What you're hiding? Like, why you stood me up? Like, why you didn't have the decency to call me?
Then I'm gonna answer all those questions.
And I also need to know if you've ever been married before. Or if you have any kids, or if you have a job, an income, or if you're homeless. Or if Yasir is your birth name and when your birthday is. And if you're using me as a second chance at life.
Am I using you?
Yes, are you using me?
No, I'm asking you to trust me.
And I'm asking for answers.
Trust me, answers. Maybe she should have asked some questions like, what's your favorite color? I mean, little stuff like that, and that's often they were already saying I love you before she knew all of that. Was it love at first sight? Anybody believe in love at first sight?
Yes.
Literally or philosophically?
Disney, through Disney, yes.
I ain't talking about no daggone Disney.
I do believe in love at first sight.
Really?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I do think for some people, they just know that they know that they know. They may not want to acknowledge that it's love at first sight, but I do believe in love at first sight.
What does that look like, Tanya? And what does it feel like?
Well, being as though I've been in numerous relationships before,
no.
You know, I wrote a book about it. it's like when I put this in my book, when I saw my husband, I knew he was my husband. Even though someone had proposed to me, I still had my engagement ring when I met my husband. But I knew that was my husband. I just knew. I told him, and he was like, well, I don't know that, you know. but for us and other people that I know, friends that I've had, my parents knew, they just knew. But what I'm finding is in those instances when things come up, those are the people who wind up staying. Whereas, you know, those people who are looking at the material things or, you know, what these people have, when tough times come, they don't see it through.
Right.
Love at first sight.
I mean, it could be possible. I mean, for me, I haven't seen it, you know. But
she's a New Yorker, though. That,
you know. Okay. I'm from New Jersey,
which is even more
where people don't talk. We just walk past with the most rudest look. So maybe there's never love at first sight because everybody's angry.
Right.
But I mean, I do think that it is possible, you know. But then again, I just think that it just comes down to where people are at that moment in time. You know, like you said, you were engaged and you were still like, this is my husband. So, you know, it just depends if you're ready to give it a shot.
Love at first sight, too.
Yeah, I think they're outliers, not the standard, because just based on testimonials, everyone that I know that has a successful marriage where I want to emulate and be like, wow, I really enjoy like and have fun with those couples like that. Like I'm they thought, to use DC slang, they thought their wives were Bamas at some time. They was like, this person is mean to me. This person is whack or whatever like that. And then as they got to know them, as they opened up and they had more conversations, something developed. But love at first sight, most of the successful marriages that I know, even with my wife came into the scene. I was like, who is this? She here from some college, whatever, on summer break trying to make a little money. I was like, listen, you need to put that cocktail sauce in the ramekin this way. Get out of my face. Because we was working at a restaurant. I'm like, because it wasn't love at first sight. But let me tell you something. Best thing I ever did was to not shun her away and not just keep her so far away where I wouldn't let her in. Mm. I just kept communicating with people, and eventually it worked out. You got to try. I think that's what I'm getting to. Mm-hmm. Try. If it's not love at first sight, just don't shut everything down. Try.
Right. See, I think I do believe in love at first sight, and I think it's really? Pretty. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe in it literally, and I also do believe in it philosophically. I think that, and I also believe, although I can't necessarily obviously speak for women, but I also believe that it is the same kind of thing. It is that butterfly. Feeling doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are.
That just means he fine.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I've been attracted at first sight. I've been attracted at first
sight. Right, yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah, he or she may be fine. Okay, but the thing about it is, and I'll just kind of run it down. Okay, you see her and she's fine, and then when she opens her mouth and you hear her voice,
ooh, right,
there's something that is it is spiritual. It reaches into that sixth sense. Okay. Of your being, and then it's the way that she may look at you, the way that she may touch you, the way that she speaks to you,
right?
Whether it is an initial endearing term, the way she may hug you. I mean, you're done like an Easter ham in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And I just believe that it is. That the butterflies continue,
right?
That and that is when you know, and that's when you, and this is a thing that I think, you know, you should, when you're talking to your the younger sisters there, Stu, it's that passion that I can't live without you. I'm not talking about stalking. I'm not talking about hurting anybody. Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Let's
right. Full that, disclaimer.
That's another show.
Right.
Yeah. That's another show. I'm talking about that rolling around in the bed when you can't sleep. You know, until you hear that person's voice,
right. Yeah.
It's causing you to go to church when you ain't been to church.
It's that ringtone when it comes.
Right, you know that. I think it's that. But then the work still needs to be done.
Right, right. And that's what I was going to say, because even when my husband and I were at that pinnacle where we were like, okay, this marriage isn't working, we want a divorce, and all that stuff that you're talking about. Came back while we're having this conversation on the side of the bed. We were like, well, number one, we ain't got no money for a divorce. But then we talked about that. I can't imagine going to bed without you. I can't imagine putting the kids to bed without you. I can't imagine doing these things without you. And so for us, those were things that we weren't willing to compromise on and say, we're going to put our own selves through not having you there anymore. So That was a turning point for us to say, yo, we need to work on this marriage because there's so many things that is a part of me that you are a part of that I can't imagine me now, you know, you coming over here on the weekends to get the kids. It just for us, we just could not even process what a night would look like without the other person being there.
Mm. Anybody ever do anything foolish for love?
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
Every day.
He said every day.
Every day. You're talking about a big thing that could, you know, you could write a book about or make the news. Yeah,
or tell a story about it. Or something that when you look back that you either would not do again or would give you pause if you would consider it.
Oh, yeah, man. I did some weird stuff, man. I mean, corny, cornball stuff. I mean, I went and I took all my little money that I had, all my little allowance or whatever like that, but all this Valentine's candies and bears and roses or whatever like that. And I put it in this girl's locker. I mean, filled it up. Locker. You couldn't even get books in it. And she dating all these other people, whatever. Like that. I saw her in class after she got it. And she was draped in everything I had purchased.
Ooh.
And I said, oh, I got her. She gave me a high five and said, thank you. And another guy walked her out with it.
Wow.
Yeah, the wrong one. The wrong
so
one.
So what'd you do?
What I do?
Yeah.
I cry myself to sleep.
Oh, you ain't asking for it back. You gotta keep
No, I ain't gonna ask for it back. Plus, I threw the receipts away. But look, I cry myself to sleep. Women could be hard on a brother.
Jessica, what have you done foolish for love?
I remember high school.
Wait a minute.
I like this
Hold
dude.
On. High school? I'm talking about grown high school. You know,
well, it's all around money and spending money. Yeah,
I'm going to let Stu slide on that high school thing. But I'm sorry, as an adult.
I mean, I'm not that old. But then again, I haven't had too many boyfriends. Like, I've only had one. Like, you know, in 28 years.
Yay.
You know, so I haven't really been out there in the streets, you know?
Of course not.
Of course
I'm not in the streets.
Not in the streets.
Hey, making me feel dirty.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I haven't talked to guys, you know, but in terms of, like, a full-blown relationship, like, no, you know? So that's why I'd say high school. I bought this dude this bracelet. I know it's high school. It's 10 years ago. But I bought this dude this bracelet. It was real expensive. Got it made from the jeweler. Then he stopped talking to me. And then one day, me and this girl went on the band trip, and she had the bracelet on.
Ooh.
Oh, I was livid. Yep. And I got it back the next day and took it back to the jeweler and melted it.
I know that's right.
Oh.
Mm.
So ever since then, I don't buy personalized jewelry from jewelers.
Personalized jewelry.
Oh, Lord.
I buy trips now.
Right.
Something that I benefit from. So me and you. Mm. So even if you left, I still had pictures on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's just crazy.
So Harold, to hear that story, real mm-hmm. quick, to hear that story, not to give any plot lines away or any spoilers, but the way the show ended, the season
right.
ended, having something that you don't want to give away or you keep mm-hmm. sake for a long time mm-hmm. and then they finally figure out that you got it.
Well, you know, happened to Tanya.
Yeah, I had to take it to the pawn shop. Mm-hmm. I used it to pay for my wedding.
So, oh, wow. So what foolish thing have you done for love?
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Please don't give me a high school story.
I'm not.
It isn't
I'm
no
not,
judgment
I'm
zone,
not.
Too. Go ahead.
No, when I was in the military, I drove several hours overnight to go see a guy, and when I got there, his girlfriend was there.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she and I tore his place up.
No.
And that was fun.
Yeah, you fought over a guy?
No. No, we together. We were like, okay, we're going to tear his place up.
Oh, so you all became friends, instant friends.
Real quick friends, and we tore his place up.
That is just...
That sounds like good times.
Good times. It's that New Jersey thing coming out again. Lord have mercy. Listen, I want to thank you all so much for coming in. Yeah, because I'm out of time.
Are you? Wow, this is great.
Yeah, so
already?
I don't have
any.
Yeah, I don't
but
have
love
any.
Is.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have any foolish stories.
Oh, just wait a minute.
That's why he's wrapping up.
Right? I am so out of time. Hi, this is a Labor Day weekend.
Yes,
yes indeed. Listen, I want to thank Jessica Brown, Tanya Barnett, Stuart Ransom for coming in and chatting with us. And look, love is always possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you just believe.
If you just believe. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, August 31st, for News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineer Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful holiday weekend.